Dear friends, what is a myth? The simplest definition is a timeless story that also teaches timeless truth. If you think about it, since the dawn of man, billions of stories have been spoken, written down, and passed on. Hence, the ones that are still with us today must contain something intrinsically relevant and timeless, else it would have been forgotten down the pages of time. Hence, for this reason alone, we would do well to pay attention to our myths. There is, of course, another story that is timelessly relevant, and that is, of course, the Christian story, captured in the story of the Bible. As hinted at in previous Myth Pilgrim episodes, there is an intrinsic relationship between ancient mythology and the Christian story. C.S. Lewis had piercing insight that these great tales could be likened to a sort of pre-evangelization, narrative precursors to the Christian narrative. For example, the heroic messianic figures we had yearned for in our imaginations of old was actually fulfilled by Jesus Christ in history. Lewis writes that, quote, "God sent the human race what I call good dreams. I mean those strange stories scattered all throughout the heathen religions about a God who dies and comes back to life again, and by his death somehow gives new life to men." End quote. Well, there are few finer examples of this type of messianic sacrificial God than the Greek story of Prometheus. While today we will zoom in on this story, I do hope to present a number of Christ figures in ancient mythology, with the hope that by knowing their stories, we too can come to love the Christian story even more. You're listening to The Myth Pilgrim, and I am Brother Lawrence of the Missionaries of God's Love. At its heart, the spiritual journey is a delightful and perilous adventure, just like the myths and fairy tales we love. This podcast is also a journey, learning from both wizards and saints, enchanted princesses and inner demons. Together, we'll discover how the great symbols of myth and fairy tale can guide us on our journey to God. So, who was this Prometheus? Prometheus was a Titan, a race of ancient deities that actually preceded the more famous gods like Zeus. In Greek mythology, it was Prometheus who created mankind, actually, out of the clay. However, when he crafted humans, they were initially weak and vulnerable compared to other creations and animals, and had no special features like claws or wings or fangs. Further, the Olympian gods sort of bullied the humans and made them worship them and offer sacrifice to them, and the human race's life was quite a misery because of these gods. Feeling great compassion for his creation, Prometheus decided to intervene on their behalf. He humiliated the gluttony of Zeus in an act of trickery before venturing into Mount Olympus, the home of the gods. There, Prometheus stole heavenly fire from the workshop of Hephaestus, the god of craftsmanship. Fire in ancient times was a symbol of divine power and knowledge. Prometheus then gifted this stolen fire to humanity, enabling the human race to cook and keep warm, make weapons, conquer the darkness, and progress their civilization in various ways. For the Greeks, fire represented not only physical warmth, but also the spark of civilization and technological advancement. However, Prometheus' act of theft enraged Zeus. In retaliation, he punished Prometheus by chaining him to a rock in the Caucasus Mountains, where an eagle would visit him daily to peck out his liver, which would regenerate each night due to his godlike immortality, thus subjecting Prometheus to eternal torment. In some accounts of the story, after 30,000 years of this reoccurring torment, Zeus actually offers Prometheus a chance of respite, if only he would take the fire back from humanity and return it to heaven. But always in these accounts, Prometheus refuses, and so continues to offer sacrifice day and night on behalf of his beloved humanity. Pretty moving story, right? I know that when I first heard about Prometheus, I suddenly felt a whole new connection for Christ and his love for us, and how much he was willing to sacrifice in order for us to flourish as humans. This is the inherent power of this type of storytelling, how mythical stories like Prometheus can actually nourish our own story as Christians. Now, if you had the Christian lens on, you'd probably identify many parallels of Prometheus to the historical events and actions of Jesus of Nazareth. In no particular order, I will now explore each of these following features in detail. Part 1. Prometheus's fire and the gift of the Holy Spirit. You know, prior to contrary belief, the climactic culminating act of Jesus was not his death nor even his resurrection. What? No, the climactic moment was actually Jesus sending the Holy Spirit down to us, a fact made possible, of course, by his death and resurrection. See, the Holy Spirit is the very life of God, given to us, dwelling in us, drawing us into union with him. Jesus came so that we could receive divine life in us, his Holy Spirit. St. Paul talks about the Spirit as the very love of God poured out into our hearts. Hence, the Holy Spirit plays no small role in the sanctification of us disciples. Indeed, living a life in the Spirit is the mark of an authentic Christian. It is also what sets us apart from all other living creatures, for while they have a body and intelligence and instincts and some measure of consciousness, they do not have the Spirit of God dwelling in them. The Holy Spirit then, the fire of God, is akin to the fire that Prometheus brought down for humanity, and at great personal cost. Fire, of course, is an apt image for the Holy Spirit, because on that pivotal moment on Pentecost Sunday, the Spirit was poured out upon the apostles' life in a rushing wind and tongues of fire. Like the fire that Prometheus won for humanity, the Spirit animates us, protects us, restores our dignity, strengthens us, equips us with its sevenfold gifts, and builds a new civilization, the kingdom of God here on earth. But this priceless fire in our hearts did not come without great personal cost, and it is to this detail we now turn. Part 2. Prometheus's Passion and the Passion of Jesus. There's something both moving and graphic about the scene where Prometheus is chained to a rock in the mountains, cruciform fashion, mind you, if you look at the art, while an eagle is sent to torture him daily by pecking out his liver. If you're emotionally affected in some way by this scene, good. It is the type of reaction we should be having when we look at the crucified body of Christ on the cross, side pierced by the lance. Incidentally, bracket, our livers are actually on the right side of the body, where Jesus would also have been pierced. Close bracket. See, we've become so desensitized to the image of Christ on the cross that we have often developed a sort of compassion fatigue. But the reality is, the cross is a reminder of how much God loves us, his beloved creation, which he also created out of the clay and breathed his very life into. To give us a chance to live and to flourish, he offered up his own body as a sacrifice for us. Like how Zeus taunted Prometheus with the option of being unshackled if only he would give over his creation to him, the taunts of the thieves and passerbys would tell Jesus to come off the cross at the cost of humanity's salvation. As the saying goes, it wasn't the nails that kept our Savior upon the cross, rather it was his love. Further, the detail about Prometheus' ongoing sacrifice for humanity, seemingly for eternity, also has deep Christian resonance. For in the vision that St. John has of heaven in the book of Revelation, he actually sees Jesus, the Lamb that was slain, who is at once standing upon the throne. He is a living sacrifice that keeps on giving. St. Paul tells us that Christ's one sacrifice, while complete at Calvary, continues to be offered for all mankind. He is the one true high priest who offers sacrifice on behalf of us all. Perhaps the sacrifice of Prometheus, then, can help us to get in touch with the sheer extent that Jesus really does love us, lest we ever doubt that our own sinfulness could ever be a deterrent to God's love. Finally, on this point, I will mention one little parallel that is kind of cool. St. John is traditionally depicted in sacred art as an eagle, because of the eagle's ability to peer straight into the sun without getting dazzled, i.e. St. John can gaze into the dazzling sun, the Jesus, the Son of God, and not be disoriented. Well, St. John and Mary were also at the side of Christ during his crucifixion, and they would also have been present when Jesus' right side was pierced by the soldier. from Jesus' side poured out blood and water, symbolic of the fluids of birth, which in turn symbolizes the birth of the new church. I just think it's cool that the eagle was present at the side of both heroes when new life was poured forth for humanity. If you're enjoying this episode of The Myth Pilgrim, do consider sharing it with your friends so that we can together encounter God veiled in our favourite tales. I'm always open to your feedback and ideas too, so always feel free to contact me on The Myth Pilgrim Facebook page or through the website at themythpilgrim.com. The final parallel I want to draw forth is how both Prometheus and Jesus upsets the world powers of the time. You'll remember that at the time Prometheus steals fire from Mount Olympus, Zeus was the big bad boss of the time, especially having overthrown the Titans in the War of the Titanomachy. Depending on which account you read, you'll learn that Prometheus was actually a bit of a cunning trickster and pulled a few tricks on Zeus in order to get him offside, which of course enrages Zeus to no end. And ultimately, Prometheus steals the fire of heaven in secret from behind enemy lines, without any need for force or armies, etc. This is actually quite like how Christ wins his victory for humanity. Jesus battles the forces of darkness not as a conquering king, but as a helpless baby born in a manger on a cold winter's night. Bishop Barron talks about how Christ slips behind enemy lines clandestinely, without any show of triumph and trumpet. Like the compassion of Prometheus for humanity, it is Jesus' love and humility that upsets the world power, and these are the weapons that renders the devil defenseless. We too will do well to remember this when we feel overwhelmed by the enemy's tactics. When all is said and done, the story of Prometheus continues to inspire even the secular world of the price we must pay for the advancement of our humanity. But now you have a deeper appreciation of why this story is so often depicted in sacred and classical art, and how this tale so beautifully foreshadows the sacrifice of Christ. And now you also know the real symbolism behind the Olympic torch too. Indeed, the torch was designed to symbolize the fire that Prometheus stole, which symbolizes human progress, flourishing, and civilization. If the world so gratefully values the character of this ancient myth, how much more the Messiah who entered the world from the world of myth and into history? Let us Christians then recover the drama of our own story and represent it in all its romance and glory. Perhaps as a practical pilgrim exercise, you can think of one person who'd really benefit from this episode, who might also already be a great connoisseur of classical mythology. Who knows? If mythology really is the distillation of truth and humanity's greatest longings captured in story form, it might just open the door to the gospel in a fresh new way. On that note, dear pilgrims, I will love you and leave you. Journey forth, take care, and God bless.